The conference is now being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Jupiter Mines, we'd like to thank you for joining the call this morning. Today we have the Jupiter Mines Chief Executive Officer, Priyank Thapliyal, to speak about the company. After, I will invite questions from participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad when invited to do so. I will now hand you over to Jupiter CEO, Priyank Thapliyal. Please go ahead, Priyank.
Thanks, Claire. Good morning, everyone. It's a great occasion for us at Jupiter Mines to be listing at 11 o'clock this morning. And for me personally, it's been a great journey because last January, we stood in front of our shareholders saying that the patience and the trust which they had given in us in delisting the company had been amply rewarded, and that was when we started our first set of dividends. And the only thing which we had failed to deliver at that time was the liquidity, which we said we will pursue. And today marks the culmination of that process with the IPO. I have with me in this room some of the key players who helped me in delivering this thing. So I would like to thank them without naming each and every person. But I have to say that it has been a very efficient process. The advisors have been top-notch, and the ASX and the ASIC have been very, very supportive of this listing. Before we get into the details, maybe I can just take you a little bit through where we are with respect to Tshipi, what we see happening at Tshipi since the end of this financial year, and then at the end I will open it up to some questions. What I will probably start off is with where we see the manganese market. I think a lot of people are aware the manganese price is currently trading in excess of $7 per DMTU. The most eagerly awaited email I await every Monday morning is the metal bulletin price. So just like the shareholders, the team at Tshipi also monitors the manganese price on a weekly basis. But I have to say that we do not believe in forecasting the manganese price. In fact, what I have seen over the last 3 to 4 years is that all the so-called supposed experts have consistently got the manganese pricing wrong. So for me, the only comfort is how many tons we can deliver and at what cost we can deliver. The other thing which we always focus on is when we pulled the trigger to develop the mine, we had assumed a long-term manganese price of somewhere around $4 to $4.50 per DMTU. And on that basis, assuming a long-term rand price of, I think, 10 rands to a dollar, we had justified investing the $200 million Australian, roughly, of the capital expenditure to build the mine. So anything above that is a bonus. We try to keep our costs at less than somewhere around the low $2 per DMTU. And on that basis, we generate sufficient amount of returns for our shareholders. I think the proof is in the pudding. The Jupiter share of the capital has been around $100 million, and over the last 18 to 24 months, we have returned about 150 million Australian dollars back to the shareholders. So I can see most of the shareholders being very, very pleased with that return. And now with the shares being traded today, they will get the liquidity which they have all been waiting for. The key thing to bear in mind is that there has been a substantial transformation in Tshipi. In fact, last year, the financial year 2018, the numbers for which were released yesterday, is basically what we now aspire to operate Tshipi at. So our business plan for this 2019 financial year is to deliver broadly in line with what we delivered in the last financial year, which was close to 3.4 million tons of production. We have just finished the first month of this current financial year, and we shipped about 280,000 tons of manganese. So if we just times it by 12, we seem to be on track for that production level. And then apart from the production, we always try to keep our costs down. Last year our cost was somewhere in the $2.20 per DMTU FOB levels, and that is what is going to be our target this year. The good thing about the asset and the operation, and I think the team on the ground, is that they always keep on looking at ways to reduce the cost. So they have identified about 200 to 250 million rands worth of cost savings, which roughly transforms to around 15 to 20 cents per DMTU. It will not all be delivered in this financial year, but that is the target for the next few years. So keeping the production levels at 3 to 3.6 million tons levels and trying to produce at low $2 per DMTU is basically what our target is. And the mine is only 5 years old. It's got a 100-year resource. It's got a 30-year reserve. So at the end of the day, this mine will be there while a lot of the other mines which are currently operating will be gone. And that, again, has implications on, from where I sit, the long-term manganese pricing, because when you take out some of these big players from the market in the next 10 to 12 years, there is a big supply deficit which needs to be filled up. And the only place where it can come from is South Africa, but as a lot of people must have realized during the roadshow and from the prospectus, most of the mines are in the northern Kalahari, which is 1,000 kilometers inland, and the only way you can get export capacity is through the Transnet rail and port. And they are constrained. There's no way they can expand. So although 80% of the world's resources in the northern Kalahari, you can only ship about 16 to 17 million tons per annum. So that will, in a way, dictate where the long-term price settles. And the other dynamic which is also shaping the manganese industry very much like the iron ore industry is basically the stringent pollution controls in China, which basically has the end result that a lot of production in China, which is low grade, about 17-18%, which from where Chippy sits is basically waste product, is being taken out of the market, and the only way it can be taken care of is to increase the exports from the imports from South Africa and other places. So that is basically what our view is on the manganese pricing and the production of Chippy, that at the end of the day, that will determine where the long-term price settles. But for us, the focus is that we plan to operate at 3 to 3.6 million ton levels at the $2 to $2.20 per the DMTU FOB cost. And if we can achieve that, we will have substantial cash being generated at Chippy. Half of that belongs to Jupiter, so half of that will flow up the chain to Jupiter. And Jupiter is only focused on Chippy. We have no plans to look elsewhere for acquisitions. It's a debt-free company. There's no debt in Jupiter. There's no debt in Chippy. So for the shareholders' perspective, if a dollar flows from South Africa to Australia, Jupiter, then it's all going to basically go into the shareholders' pocket. We have articulated dividend policy of 70%, but frankly, I don't even know what I will do with the rest of the 30%. So as far as I can see, whatever comes from South Africa will be channeled through Jupiter into the shareholders' pocket. What shape or form it takes, we will determine what is the best way to do it. But we will have half-yearly dividend or distributions, whatever is the right word to call. The first 6 months dividend, I think, will be after our first 6 months, which will be somewhere around, I think, August or September. I think at the time of the roadshow, we said that and it's also in the prospectus that the cash balance attributable to Chippy, to Jupiter will be somewhere around $70 million. But that was on the basis of us having sold up to February, because that's when we did the roadshow. Today, when I speak to you, we have concluded all the sales for the month of March, and now we are in the market selling for, we have concluded all the sales for end of April, and we are in the market selling for May and June. So on the basis of the concluded sales, we have in Chippy a cash balance of 1.5 billion rands by end of May, and half of that belongs to Chippy. So the cash balance attributable to Chippy will be substantially more than the 71 million, which has been flagged in the prospectus. I think from the shareholder's perspective, from myself as the CEO's perspective, who also happens to be a one-person shareholder, I think the likelihood of the 6 months dividend is fairly high. The amount and the quantum, I think, is also going to be substantially more than what we have paid on average over the last 2 years. In terms of South Africa, which is again where a lot of attention is focused on, you must have read the High Court rules that the once empowered, always empowered stands, which opens up a lot of opportunities for us to do things with the Tshipi asset. And again, that is one of the things which we will focus on over the next 12 to 18 months. I think the only other point which I would like to make on the operation is that we have identified, I would probably say broadly, two things for focus. One is, as I just now mentioned, squeezing out about 200 to 250 million rands of cost savings. And the second one is basically to see whether we can increase our attributable ownership in Tshipi either through some sort of a transaction around Tshipi or through the consolidation in the Kalahari. And if we can do that, then I think we have generated substantial amount of value for the shareholders. In terms of where I am personally, I think it was mentioned in the prospectus, and I'm going to reiterate that I own a substantial stake in Tshipi, in Jupiter. For me, it is something which I've paid for with my hard-earned money. It's not some fancy gimmick like options or LTIPs and all. I've paid for each and every share which I have owned. I've not sold a single share. And my belief in the asset is great, and that's why I basically subscribed for somewhere close to $1 million worth of shares. I mean, in fact, last time around when Jupiter raised money at 70 cents 3 or 4 years ago along with Foster's, the deal was done at 70 cents and I took shares at 70 cents. So that just kind of should tell the shareholders that I'm kind of joined to the hip with them. My interests are totally aligned with them. And I don't see myself as a professional CEO. I see myself as the custodian of this asset and as a joint owner of this asset along with the shareholders. So I have no plans to sell anything. And just like you, I'm on this train and I will enjoy the ride and long may it last. So I think that's pretty much what I wanted to talk to you about before we go to the stock exchange to ring the bell and get the shares trading. And I think on that basis, I will close my remarks and open it up for any question and answers. And I think the moderator, Claire, is going to basically manage that process.
Thank you, Priyank. Yes, good morning, everyone. I would like to invite you to ask questions by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed in a queue. Please listen to your name and I'll introduce you through to the call. Thank you, Priyank. We do have a question. We have a question from Trent Barnett from Hartleys. Please go ahead, Trent.
Oh, hi, Priyank.
Hi, Trent.
Obviously. Hi. Obviously, you are generating a lot of cash at the moment, and you're obviously clear on paying a dividend. Just wondering, sort of timing of perhaps the first dividend?
Trent, I think the first dividend will be due when we have the first 6 months results, which will be somewhere around August. So from where I sit, I think somewhere around September, we should be able to declare the first dividend. I think the key thing, which I did elaborate in my opening remarks, is that company is debt-free. There is no debt in the company. There's no debt at the asset level. The asset has very minimal capex, as I think most of the investors have picked up. It's contract mined and managed, so the capex, whatever minimal has to be done, is part of the opex that is reflected in my cost of production, which I just now mentioned. So yeah, I think whatever money we are generating, and I just in yesterday's announcement flagged that Tshipi was going to be sitting with 1.5 billion rands by end of May, everything will flow up the chain, our half share, and will be paid out to the shareholders. As I said, we have no plans for using that cash into any frivolous activities like acquisitions or building an empire. So whatever we get from South Africa comes to Australia and goes into the shareholders' pocket. And the first dividend, I think, will be somewhere in September.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Trent. At this stage, Priyank, we do not have any questions. Once again,
thank you.
Oh, we do have Trent again for you, Priyank. I'll just join him through now. Please go ahead, Trent.
Sorry, Priyank, just quickly as well, I guess, with a very high manganese price and you're giving clear production of 3.3 million tonnes, what's the chance maybe of that being above 3.3 for 19, or should we just assume 3.3?
I think 3 to 3.6 is what our target is for this financial year, because that optimizes the returns for the shareholders. Anything above that, we have to start thinking of changing the pit design and the pit shell, and that adds to the capital which the contractor has to put in. So yes, I think from my perspective, from your perspective, 3.3 is a fairly good guidance. The cost is what I mentioned, and we have substantial amount of stockpiles sitting of what I would call low grade from the South African perspective, which is 30 to 32% grade, which when you compare to the Chinese production is still like substantially high grade. And that's the stuff which we try to move on an opportunistic basis depending on where the manganese pricing is, because it's just sitting there. It's already mined. The only cost which we have to incur is the transportation cost. And if the manganese price is where it is right now, you can still make substantial amounts of money. So that's the stuff which we move and what I call to milk the cow as far as the management at Chippy is concerned.
Okay.
But we go into the market a month or two before the shipment is due, once we get the visibility, because we want to be the price setter rather than the price taker for the manganese.
Yep, understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Trent. We do have a next question. Paul Hannum from BT Investment Management. Please go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Morning, Priyank. Yeah, how are you? Can you just recap what the Jupiter share register base looks like again after this? After the sell-down, what the split between institutional retailers' shareholdings are, and also from the legacy shareholders as well?
So, Paul, I think this IPO has basically achieved $240 million, which is roughly about 40% of new shareholders coming in. Out of that 40%, about 29% is the new institutions which have subscribed into the IPO, the $225 million worth of the component of the IPO. And the retail component is going to be about 12%. So the rest 60% is still going to be held by the old shareholders, which as most of us are aware is primarily the, if I can still use the word, the Pellinghurst Co-Investment Group. But I think as the announcement said, the IPO was very well received, largely because of the simplicity of the story and the dividend yield of the stock and the lean and mean culture of the management team and the way Chippy and Jupiter are both run. So that's, I think, roughly where the shareholding will come out from the IPO. I think it has been put on the Jupiter website and the ASX website. So if you need any further details, we'll be more than happy to send it to you.
Thanks very much, Paul. At this stage, we have no further questions, Priyank. We do have one question. We have a question from Stuart Dodd from Renance Asset Management. Please go ahead, Stuart.
Hi, Stuart.
Oh, hi, guys. Just a quick one. Just when can we expect release of the full year accounts for Jupiter itself?
We have, as I said, I think we've announced what I call the final results for Chippy. So now the process is ongoing for our marketing entity in Jupiter. And I'm told that those results should be ready by 31st of May.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Stuart. We do not have any further questions now, Priyank.
Well, in conclusion, I just want to thank all of you for all your support and being part of the journey, and I'm sure long it will last. So thanks once again. Thank you.
Everyone, that now concludes the Jupiter Mines call. We'd like to thank you for your time today. A copy of this will be released shortly. Thank you and have a great day.
Unless more parties join, this conference will be disconnected in 10 minutes.